The Sigillite. The Imperial Palace was still in the early stages of construction when I returned there aboard the Emperor's Golden Craft. And I say returned because I had indeed spent my infancy somewhere in the bowels of the mountains beneath it, although my father never showed me where, and I never found out. I was not paraded triumphantly, even though I could sense my father's fierce joy at my discovery. Instead, I was hastened away to a private chamber, and told that my presence, my very existence, must be the closest guarded secret. "But will the crew of your ship not talk?" I asked. The Emperor shook his head.
"They will remember nothing of you."
I accepted this. One tends to accept most things, my father says. It is not a matter of his word being law, although it unquestionably is. It is more the case that his word is truth. You come to see that, of course, what he has said must be the case, and if it is not, by some standard of measurement, the truth, then you can be sure that steps will be taken to ensure that it becomes true. In such a manner does my father organize the world to his desires. I do not think I had much in the way of expectations to begin with, but it is fair to say I thought my father might spend time with me, explaining who I was and how I had come to be. In this I was mistaken, for the Emperor was, by his very nature, often absent. Terra was yet to be fully brought into compliance, and compliance was true more in theory than practice, even in those areas in which it had supposedly occurred. Instead of my father, I was more often tutored by Malkador, the Sigillite. The Wolf King, in one of his rare bouts of humour to which I have been party, once mused that Malkador was perhaps a portion of our father's soul that he had deliberately separated off to take care of boring details. I can see where Russ was coming from in this matter, for while our father is a living force whose vibrancy and glory defies all description, Malkador seems to be made of dust, as cold and as dry as that in which I had been found on the Tsarinum Plateau. Whereas the Emperor's knowledge and mastery of all seems an innate part of him, Malkador gives the impression of someone who has come by his wisdom through long study. He is a man of detail, of long and dry and boring detail. Please note, I do not say these things to mock or minimize him. We neglect the detail at our gravest peril. Malkador is, dare I say, as essential to the Imperium as my father. I remember the first time Malkador let himself into my quarters. We stared at each other for some time. I was weighing him up, and he, I am sure, was doing the same. I concluded he intended me no harm, but I could feel the power within him. It was tightly shrouded, unlike in my father, but there, nonetheless. Had I been required to kill him, I was not at that time certain how I would have gone about it.
"I am here to teach you," he said at last.
I nodded, to signify my understanding and acceptance.
"What are you to teach me?"
"What do you think you should be taught?" he replied,
and those dark, sharp eyes of his were on me like a predator watching a prey animal to see in which direction it was going to flee. This was a test.
"I am to watch and learn," I replied.
It had not been long since I had been found, but I was already growing in both body and mind. There were some texts available in my quarters, and I now had a greater understanding of my context and of the world outside. They had mainly brought home to me how very unusual I was.
"I am to watch and to understand."
"You are to watch and to understand, and to act," Malkador corrected me. "You are the secret of secrets, but you are no use if you do not act."
He walked to a desk on which were arrayed playing pieces, and sat down with an exhalation.
"The Emperor has revealed himself to the world because he must. He is visible. I am visible. Constantine Valdor is visible."
He cocked his head and regarded me with a little humour.
"Valdor does not yet know about you. See how long you can keep it that way. You may treat this as a test."
I nodded. I had already learned of Constantine Valdor and the Legio Custodes, thanks to the information I had available. I strongly suspected there was far more to learn.
You are not visible, Malkador continued. You are... You could be the secret shield. The sword in the darkness. The weapon our enemies do not expect, because their focus will be on us. You will do what you must to preserve what we have built, even without instruction. Even if...
He trailed off and sighed.
This was not intended to be your destiny, but it is the hand that fate has dealt you. Has dealt us all, in fact.
I was intrigued as to what my intended destiny had been, but I kept my silence. If Malkador did not elaborate, I could return to the subject and ask him, and then he might answer. And he might not. If he kept talking, he might give me information I would not have thought to ask about. He tapped the board instead.
Come, sit opposite me. I'm presuming you have already familiarized yourself with the rules of this game.
I did as he asked. I have. It is called Regicide.
Simple to learn, very difficult to master, Malkador replied.
We were within a meter of each other now, and I could smell his breath, which was as sharp as his eyes.
Or at least, that is how it is for most people. I suspect it will be a different matter for you. Let us find out.
We played in silence. He won.
You are certainly not a beginner,
Malkador said appraisingly, when the game had concluded.
Let us see what happens next time.
We played in silence once more. I won. I won barely, but I won. Malkador was studying me intently now, and I got the impression he was realizing for the first time exactly what I was. In this matter, he knew more than me, for while I understood it was very unlikely that someone playing their second game of Regicide could beat an opponent who had apparently played it many times, at that point I lacked the context for exactly what this old, very intelligent, highly dangerous man must be feeling. His face stilled.
Let us try once more.
His voice was in my head. It felt similar to how I'd felt my father's voice when he'd found me. But Malkador did not speak aloud. This was a purely mental contact. If he expected this to unsettle me, however, he was to be disappointed. The first person who had ever spoken to me had done so in such a manner, at least partially, and I did not at that point understand how rare a gift it was. We played again. This time Malkador beat me easily. I looked at him questioningly and framed a thought inside my head, putting it into distinct words. Can you read my mind?
Yes.
I sat back. He tapped the board.
Again?
How can I beat someone who can read my mind? I asked. Malkador smiled.
You understand that the two players of Regicide start by being equally matched.
One side moves first, I countered. That can be an advantage.
It depends on the player, Malkador replied. But in terms of the forces at their disposal, they are equal.
I nodded.
Then to win, you cannot rely on brute force. You must hide your intentions from your opponent. Draw them into traps. Make sacrifices to advance your plans. Cause them to overextend themselves or leave themselves vulnerable in some manner.
I nodded again. Of course.
Most people do that through simple means, Malkador said. They do not, for example, announce their next planned move. They might avoid looking at an area of the board in which they have a particular interest. These deceptions occur on the surface.
He leaned forwards, his eyes fixed on mine.
You must learn to be more subtle. Your deceptions must run deep. To the wrong enemy, even your thoughts can betray you. You must master them.
You wish me to learn to hide my thoughts from you? I asked.
No, Malkador replied. I wish you to learn to hide your thoughts from everyone.
He tapped the board.
Again?
I have a gift. It is not necessarily a great gift as these things go, My brother Magnus can perform feats I suspect only our father can fully comprehend, let alone better. Shadows are Korax's home in a way they will never be for me. Lorgar can stir hearts and minds with his words. Sanguinius can, of course, fly. And how I have envied him that, and not merely for the tactical advantage it can give. Yes, we experience envy. I have watched Sanguinius soar, and have wished for a moment that I possessed his wings. I doubt any of my brothers have envied me in the same way. But then, quite apart from the fact that they have only known me for a few years, my gift is also less obvious. I can disappear. Not in the manner Korax can, or for that matter Kurz, should he wish to. I can be exceedingly stealthy when I choose to be, and I have access to certain items which can assist, but where I excel is in blending in. I cannot escape notice as such, but I can, if I try, escape recognition. I can pass as someone else, and blur the questions that might occur as to the details. No mean feat when you are such a unique being. I first discovered this ability during my early days in the Imperial Palace. Without it, I would have been discovered many times over. I was present when several of my siblings were first met by our father, often, in fact, disguised as members of their own legions. Lorgar never even blinked. He was so enraptured by the Emperor. The lion's instincts were sharper, and I could almost feel his sense that something was not as it seemed, but he never worked out what it was, or if he did, he gave no indication. Then again, few of us are as inscrutable as the Lord of the First. It is one of the things I consider myself to have in common with him. I was not at Angron's discovery, and I do not regret that.